Well, what a round eight it was, and you've never seen three happy podcasters than today. The Super Footy Podcast. Welcome, everyone, as we look at the fallout from round eight. And I think we can pretty much all sing our theme songs together at the same time. Who's this bloke over here, Sammy?
I just want to say I am, before we get on to the good news, disgusted. Nothing short of disgusted that this man is here today. His side that? Win after the siren. We haven't seen him for 2 months.
7 weeks.
And then I knew as soon as... A lot of people had other thoughts in their mind, but as soon as Sam Lloyd's kick swung back at the punt road end for that dramatic winner, I thought, we'll see Mick.
Well, actually, I saw in the post match that Sam Lloyd actually said, I really wanted to kick it because I wanted Mick back on the podcast.
This is true.
Nah, it was a great night at the G. I was there doing the boundary for 3AW, and as I left with 50 seconds to go, the ball was deep in the Sydney forward line.
You left?
Yeah, well, to get down to make sure I got the first interview. And as I was making my way just along the back of the concourse there, I saw him take the mark, and I thought, he'll kick this. Because he was recruited because he kicks goals. 100 for Mandaliza. And 100 for Deniliquin. It's a good story, isn't it?
It is.
Coming from the bush.
I was surprised he kicked it, actually, from there.
You don't know your football.
Well, no, I thought late game, big pressure. But, geez, what an amazing game. And if no club does drama like Richmond.
Was it a good game, though, from a neutral
supporter? No club does drama like Richmond. Nah. If anyone was going to break a six-match losing streak and then after the siren winner, it was going to be your club.
The ups and downs. I mean,
It's 40 years of hell. It's worse than vertigo, I can tell you.
The so-called quote-unquote bounce of God that we called it later. As soon as it fell into Jack's lap, I was like, I toyed with tipping Richmond and I changed and I had him and I changed. And as soon as it bounced at right angles in Jack's lap, I thought, if they're not going to win it, they're at least going to get a crack at it. Because he was just clinical, Jack, all night.
Griffiths,
has been all season.
Who got it to him? I had him delisted before the game. Along with about 14 other blokes, but he may
saved
well.
His career
yes,
there, didn't he?
I reckon he has.
You know what it is? It's like Mark Murphy in Carlton, which we'll get to. We won't bury the lead. Carlton supporters. It's the helmet. The helmet's transforming. The helmet has transformed.
Who's the
Ben
most
Griffiths.
Famous helmet wearing footballer in history?
Nathan Burke.
Yeah, he'd be the best. He'd be the best over a long period of time. I would have thought.
But they're back in vogue, aren't they? Caleb Daniel,
though, had the black, red, and white stripes on his helmet. Was it? Biro, Corkamillan, no.
Phil Markle, did he?
Yeah, was it?
Question without notice.
Yeah. Is it just me?
What about this first time you allude to it, though, Hutto, that the three of us have been
first
in the same
podcast
room where our sides have won, and clearly the most impressive
That's
because
you barracked for Carlton and he barracked for Richmond.
Was Carlton. I mean, can you
Before we get on to Carlton.
Can you believe
are we finished
Carlton?
We haven't finished with Richmond. I did mention it last week with the Blues, Mick.
Yep.
Sort of mixed feelings for Sam because...
Because he got sacked.
Because he got sacked and he didn't get to wear the tie and talk about
it. Oh, I was going
to
bring it in.
It's 4 weeks in a row.
Why did Trigg sack you?
Probably the salary was an issue.
Well, hasn't been an issue.
They were pretty close
in the past.
Pretty close to the cap. No, he's straightened up. He's changed his ways, and he thought, I can't cook him again.
Wouldn't you accept paper bags? So that was the problem.
Oh, I find you a tad hypocritical, though. Don't you still host the functions down there on the big stage?
No, only when they win flags.
Right, okay. So you might be hosting again this year.
I might be hosting again this year.
But the blue baggers, are we talking about them or Richmond? What are we talking about here?
Can you honestly...
Geelong.
Four in a row. Can you believe the difference this bloke's made?
No.
Brendan Bolton, of course. It is nothing short of staggering. Well, and every week that goes past, you just realise how far off the pace Mick Maltese was in his final years, don't
you? Well, that's you saying that.
Well, it's essentially the same list. Essentially, there are a couple of introductions that they've landed with from GWS. But Wietering's played. We haven't seen Harry McKay. And we've only seen Charlie Curnow a couple of times. It's essentially the same squad. And they're playing, infinitely better.
There's no doubt they look organised. They've got a...
Structure.
I hate that word.
But spirit, though.
And spirit's the key.
Yeah, and that's
it?
The
he's
thing
got
that
them
he's
playing
been able to do. I mean,
back in love with the game.
We had him as our guest in the coach's box on Friday night. And we're trying to break him and get him to... And it was just all.
You can't break him.
Formula.
Was he on with Malthouse?
No, he wasn't. Mick wasn't there. So we
by design.
Well, no, it was an interstate game. Mick only does the Melbourne games.
Right.
So he wasn't there. But this is the extent of his seriousness. I asked him about his work life balance because Stephen Triggett said the week before that's the only thing they're worried about is he's working too hard. I said, well, what about your family and kids? He said every night I get home and I bath the kids and then read them books. And that's the, you know, for 2 hours I'm dad and...
Jeez, you must get home I'm early.
He gets home early, to does that, and then goes back and, you know, does more work.
Back to the club.
And I asked him about, you know, what do you like as a book reader? I was trying to get him to say, oh, you know, I love it, and the high voice and all that.
It's whatever. A reset.
But yeah. Then it was about, he answered talking about education for kids is really important.
Oh.
It was funny, but...
He's a school teacher.
But, yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting issue when you're talking about, and this is something we did chat with Brendan about, is the whole teaching thing. I mean,
absolutely.
Hawthorne have done it. They've just hired teacher after teacher. Or, as Brennan said, you don't have to have been a school teacher, but you must have those teaching principles and be able to put them into place.
And to former legends of the game, they're not teachers.
That's exactly right. I asked you that. Is it just me? I'm getting in early.
Oh, is this it?
Well, I'll just raise it now because we've sort of...
No, go with
you've it. You've led on to it.
It's an organic podcast. It's we should bit, mention yeah, this, yeah. actually, that we're not breaking today, are we? We're just going to roll straight through.
We're just gonna
through,
so going
to
keep going.
It's going to be a real sort
I've
of
got
one
a meeting
with a lot.
To go to, so we're just going to roll through.
But, okay, go on.
No, will a favourite son of a club ever be appointed again as a coach for their first coaching gig? Even if they've done a big long, will they ever?
No, and shouldn't be. And if they are, then that club's got rocks in their head.
Well, it's not categoric, no, because if he goes through the process...
Well, what do you mean?
Well, this is what... A lot of those guys didn't ever go through the process and emerge as the best candidate. So it could happen, but it's highly unlikely.
I mean, Justin Lepich is the latest one that's struggling, and he wasn't, you know, not the favourite son to the same degree as Michael Voss.
No, but I don't mind the Lepich one as
much.
The
process.
He did. He went away.
But I'm even including that now.
Mm. Oh, no. Well, in that sense... No, what I don't like is the automatic appointment just because they're the favourite son. That's what I can't stand.
No,
like
I agree with that.
Your Herds.
But, I mean, Nathan
Voss,
Buckley.
Buckley, yeah.
Yeah, he obviously went away, did lots of...
The under-16s?
Yeah, and went overseas. And we talked about this last week. I mean, he just... It would have been much better if he'd gone to another club, but he didn't. But so I think even to that extent now that they will...
And that's only in 4 or 5 years that's changed. Mm. Because they were recent appointments, all those guys you talk about. But we've got more professional with our coaching. And Bolton is the perfect example, Sam. He must be doing cartwheels.
No, honestly, I can't believe it. I can't believe they're 4-4. And I look at guys like Bryce Gibbs, who was the symbol of mediocrity last year. Uninterested, disinterested, not trying, supposedly. And now you look at him. The guy's playing out of his skin.
Still got that hair, though.
Fierce, pressure.
Cut that off.
And it's a never say die team. I mean, the injuries were mounting. Casbolt, we know they're gonna miss for 2 months.
They were down by 3 goals
with 7 minutes to go. And they rattle home the last three.
Cruiser on one leg by five at that stage.
As a side famed, you're right, Port Adelaide for their running ability, which has evaporated. But the Blues, and they play North Melbourne undefeated this week. Now,
are they a sneaky chance?
Is it just me?
They're a sneaky.
They're a big chance.
Are you doing yours? Is it just me?
No, I'm not. Not on that. But mine's quite a good. Is it just me? Actually.
Oh, okay.
Hold the phone on that one. What is now the realistic number of wins that Carlton can get, and can they make the finals as Dwayne Russell suggested yesterday?
No, I can't see them making the eight, but I couldn't see them winning 4 out of their first 8 either. Which is, incidentally, the same amount of wins they had in the entirety of last season. What's an acceptable number? Well, you'd take 8, wouldn't you? Mm. You'd take 8 or 9.
Yeah,
you'd take
absolutely.
7 even. I mean...
I thought my favourite moment from yesterday, and I was preparing to call the game over there, but we were trying to watch from the commentary box, was the Mark Murphy kick. I mean, that was just... Mm. It was extraordinary, that kick. It was a superb kick, getting it into the right spot, and obviously led to the Cruiser goal.
Back to his best.
Speaking of helmets, 4 and 0 with the helmet. Yeah. Murphy, that's another one.
Will he keep it? Caleb Daniel?
Well, he said, I'm going to have to keep it now.
And did you ever wear one?
Bolton is... I did wear one once when I cut my head open. Yeah. One, you know, typically sort of hard.
I'm not surprised that you wore one.
What about the Tigers? Getting back to the other big win, the Tigers.
It wasn't a big win. It was massive.
It was a huge win.
Mick, you need to talk about your crystal ball with Richmond. And we know they've done it the last 2 years.
Yep.
And Hardwick alluded to it on Saturday night. Has the wheel turned dramatically for a third time?
Well, the fixture, in the next 6 weeks, they've got Essendon, Gold Coast, Brisbane, Fremantle, and another ordinary side, Port Adelaide. And then the only difficult side is North, who, as you say, you know, not they're undefeated, but they could
Port
win.
Port beat you 2 weeks ago in your home ground.
That's true, actually.
Yeah, it's one of those unusual ones where they play them within the space of 8 weeks. Yeah. But
do you think it's a good thing if they come back and make the finals?
No, I don't, but it's good for the soul.
I'm a bit like that with Carlton, actually. This reset hasn't actually really started yet, has it? They call it a rebuilding side.
Resetting now?
Well, Richmond. There's still some A-grade talent, massively.
Yeah. Delidio was phenomenal.
No, I'm talking about Carlton.
Oh, sorry.
The reset and the rebuild's going to get more painful.
Dueling podcasts here. You keep talking about Richmond. You keep talking about Carlton.
Well, we need to talk about your side again.
Carlton. They just asked me.
No, it's a good point, though, the whole reset versus the rebuild. And
give me a break. No, both words are the same.
Well, the rebuild is, you know, you're basically knocking your house down
which
and starting
will
again. But Carlton is
so
still...
it's a reno, not a
rebuild. At the moment, the point you made is that the new recruits haven't even come in yet.
No, and the veterans have still got to retire, a few of them as well. So it could get worse before it gets better, but certainly... as far as a minimum effort requirement is concerned, you know, you've got to like what you're seeing.
Yeah.
Speaking of minimum effort requirement, your club, we've got to speak about them off the top, don't we, given that the trifecta has occurred.
Should we go to an ad first?
We're not going to ads today.
Ad.
Okay. We're ad free. We're brought to you by the ABC today.
Cats. Gee, they're bloody good, aren't they?
Yeah, they are good. They're definitely better than I thought. I was optimistic, but I think they're a great example of with the way modern footy's played, of if you've got that strength in the middle, you can play the game on your terms. Mm. I mean, it's what happened to St Kilda yesterday against them. They just couldn't ever get the game on their terms
at
all.
They battered Adelaide. How they didn't win by more was extraordinary,
but
really.
That's in the past X number of years, Geelong have had to win the ball back to get the game to get their game in motion. But now, I thought Smith was probably the bloke that didn't get mentioned that much on Friday night in dispatches, but I think he's very good against ruckmen that aren't overly physical, like a Mumford. Obviously, was a bit much for him, but
Motlop's back too, isn't he?
Oh, Motlop is
Guthrie's the one for me. He's gone to the new level.
He has, yeah. I mean, Motlop was basically all Australian 2 years ago, and we all know that he got a bit distracted, I think, last year. He ended up playing some good footy towards the end of last year.
He was on the trade table, wasn't he, briefly?
Well, no, I don't think he ever was. There was clubs into him.
Richmond were into him.
And I think Geelong didn't want to give him a long-term contract because they thought he's the sort of player that gets a bit comfortable.
Don't know why he didn't go to Richmond. Jeez.
Well, I just told you the fixture. Mm. We might play in the grand final, and then he'll regret it.
So, I mean, they're basically...
all the weapons are there, aren't they, Hutto?
Yeah, I mean, the other thing I think with the way they're playing is that they're playing in the reverse to the way they used to in terms of out of defence. They're hanging onto the ball in the defensive 50, and it takes a lot of nerve. That I think, you know, as a supporter, that does worry you a little bit at times because you think you want to get out of there quickly, but they're just picking and choosing and then taking the kick and then just going.
Yeah, best last quarter team in the comp by a mile.
Well,
least amount of rotations made.
I'm going to say they got the best coach in the football as well. I reckon he is a sensation, Chris Scott. I'm just watching him on that AFL 360. Everything he says makes sense.
He's very measured and logical.
Mm. Yeah.
Balanced.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, so I don't know what he's doing being a coach. There's no way he can last as a coach with that sort of attitude, is there, really?
Well,
because they're all crazy.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he's still crazy. He's a crazy player. But
it was interesting, actually, talking to someone who played with them both, the Scott boys were talking about it, and Brad seems to have a bit more aggro in him now as a coach, doesn't he? I mean, they both get frustrated during a game, but Brad's carries over a bit post-match and at times he gets a bit aggro.
Especially if the roof isn't shut and all that sort of stuff.
But
Chris Bear is it, doesn't he?
This former player who played with them both said as a player it was the reverse. It was Chris was more angry and wasn't as composed on the ground. Brad was able to be, you know, aggressive but in control.
So Lynchy summed him up pretty
well.
Very good. Thanks, Al.
He stole his line. Well, they're 1-2 on the ladder, so...
They are.
Yeah,
They would have enjoyed their joint 40th birthday party
the
other day.
You would have gone?
No, I didn't go.
What's next, Hutto? There's no breaks.
There's no breaks. What about the team they played then, the Cats? Well, let's talk quickly about all the teams that those teams played before we leave those games. Port Adelaide, Sydney and Adelaide.
Sydney's back line is a huge concern with Grundy and Ted Richards. They were pretty ordinary, you'd have to say. I don't know if you saw the game while you were calling the game up at Brisbane.
I have seen some of the game, and that did.
How did you go watching that while you were calling the Brisbane game?
No, I don't know what you're talking about. It finished.
So you didn't see Lloyd's shot on goal live?
They finished at
did
different
times. Did you
see
times. Lloyd no, kick that goal?
I think Derm was commentating at the time on ours. He was, and so I knew, because once Derm started, that I'd have a bit of time. And
I never knew that you guys were watching other games. Anyway,
I didn't either.
No, we're not. But it was just in the corner of the screen.
The fans would be disappointed to know that
you're not fully invested
in their side.
How could you not be fully invested in Brisbane Collingwood? Well, exactly. It was epic.
It was really a turning point in Collingwood season.
We'll get to that in a minute. But so Swans, they clearly missed Kennedy, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. But they'll get him back. Their forward line, their midfield, as good as any. Their back line, they've got to try and work something out.
Well, that was the concern going into the year, wasn't it? Their back line, both in terms of aging, but also in terms of ball use out of there, and it hasn't been a major issue.
If they
yet.
Had Alex Rance, which obviously they don't, that was one of the greatest
one-on-ones
I've ever seen. And both were in the votes.
And they were real one-on-ones, weren't they? Oh, like, we're
the best defender
all.
And the best forward in the game.
And Buddy still
Hammer
kicked
and Tongs kicked five.
And three of them were absolute freak goals too, like inside the square sort of
Just
stuff.
Just love watching both of them play.
Well, it's
footy.
Why we have to make sure footy's played in the right way so that we get those one-on-ones. And it's brilliant to when you see two stars going at it like that.
Mm, mm. No, look, in regards to Grundy and Richards, they're colossal at the SCG, aren't they? But I reckon they get fanned out on the bigger decks. Well, they probably don't have the pace.
They've certainly
they can't narrow the field.
I know they've won premierships, but they've still got an issue with the SCG in my mind.
What do you mean?
Well, sometimes they just can't. Go there and play ordinary.
Hmm. MCG.
MCG. Yep. Sorry, did I say SCG?
Yeah.
Yeah, MCG.
Yeah, no, true. True. They're definitely vulnerable there, but I thought this year, geez, way Richmond were going.
Well, you almost picked them. But
I did. I had them down.
Do you think the Swans need to get Heaney and Mills, who are midfielders? I know they've got a gun midfield, but they do... They've got those four or five that basically just play there the whole game almost. Do you think they should get a little bit more rotation through the middle?
Well, Heaney played, yeah, you're right, most of the time forward on the weekend, couldn't sniff it. Mills plays half back. We know he's only in his
season.
He's
doing
okay. He's having a great season. Papley couldn't sniff it forward.
Shocking.
I think their midfield's amazing. Josh Kennedy didn't play on the weekend.
Hanbury was phenomenal.
And Hanbury is having some sort of a season. He
Brownlow
was pretty much one out. Yeah, absolutely. He was pretty much one out in there.
Mm.
Really, Parker was down.
Jack hurt his ankle, I think.
Jack hurt his ankle and was down. Those two were down. So we didn't see the same impact from Sinclair. He was really disappointing.
He got beaten by Hampson, didn't
That
he?
Was really disappointing from a Sydney perspective.
Tippett's dominant. Tippett's playing a lot more in the
Why
ruck
is
than
that?
Sinclair.
I don't get that. That's weird.
Well, he's a better player
didn't
in the
they recruit
ruck, isn't
he? Sinclair? He's a better ruckman than Sinclair, isn't
he's
he?
He's a better ruckman than he's a forward, Tippett, in my mind. But here's the thing. After all that, Sydney still should have won the game. And yet we get to the death. Mm. And it was very un-Sydney.
Well, look, when the siren went, they were in front.
Is that a beacon rewind for anyone, Dean Towers?
It's a good segue into beacon rewind.
Okay, all right. Well, just lead us in there with talking about what he should have done.
Well, he should have kicked it to Buddy and iced the game.
Clearly.
But he didn't.
Was Buddy demonstrative enough? Did he demand it enough to get the ball? I mean, he didn't even look at him barely, did he?
No. I don't think he saw him, did he? Anyway, have you got another? But you seem distracted.
Yeah, well, I'll start with the beacon rewind.
Not that I was watching the game.
I reckon Warnie.
Warnie.
Texting Brian Edelston, and I reckon.
Is this your beacon rewind?
Yeah, I reckon Warnie probably. He didn't think that one through. Not for the first time.
What happened for those listening that aren't familiar?
I don't know the exact details, so because we're going live, I don't want to go into it. But just check it up in the Herald Sun website over the coming days. Warnie and Brin.
All right.
Okay.
What's your beacon rewind?
You walk right into the trap, I think, the spin king.
Staggered by that. My beacon rewind is double siren gate at the MCG. I refer to the Western Bulldogs in Melbourne, where the siren actually sounded twice.
Sorry?
They let it was a little half-hearted siren, a little like you on the couch at home, just sort of. And then they realised just 1 second left, and then it sounded in its entirety. After that, after the restart, there was a goal, siren went, and went back to the players who were confused. Now, if you've ever sat in the same box, and we share the box with the timekeepers at Etihad Stadium, you realise they're quite a funny lot.
They've got to knock that joint down.
They're quite a funny lot, actually. The closer it gets to the end of a quarter or the match, they get really wound
Wouldn't
up.
Wouldn't you?
Really tense. Like, really, it's a stoppage! It's a stoppage! 1 second! Stop! Pause! Rewind! Siren! Siren now! Siren! That sort of stuff.
How do you think Donald Trump's going to go when he's got his finger on the button, mate? This is high pressure.
These are just moves. Yeah. Hey, spot on.
So what are you actually saying?
Well, that was my beacon. If they had their time over again, they wouldn't have just gone a little
harder.
They would have waited. But they got itchy. They got a little bit trigger finger, and they couldn't just keep it off the button.
Okay. Yep. My beacon rewind came from Perth yesterday, where I don't think St Kilda quite got it right at selection. They did get a lot of things wrong, but surely they should have included. They lost Sam Fisher, but didn't bring in another defender.
Who was that other defender?
Well, Tommy Lee, who played 2 weeks before and has been playing pretty well in the
Tommy
VFL.
Lee.
And yeah, former
Motley Crue.
Yeah, with Motley Crue, Pamela Anderson. Hugh Goddard is also a defender who's he hasn't been tearing it up in the VFL, but surely you bring in another tall player to take, given the size
Would
of the West
made
Coast
any
forward
difference?
Line. Probably not.
Mm.
But I still think they. I mean, and look, Dempster fought on after quarter time when he was on Kennedy, but yeah, I think they might have changed their structure a little bit. But I'll tell you what, the West Coast Eagles
at home. At home, they played finals over there, or premiership.
Well, they do play finals there.
Sorry, grand finals.
So they could make it to a grand final again,
and then
probably will too.
And dish up that garbage that they did on grand final day again.
Mm.
No, it's a real Jekyll and Tarzan and Jane sort of stuff, isn't it, for West Coast? But for the Saints, I was really disappointed for them because although they'd only won two games, they were 2-5, but of those five losses before the weekend, they were in a lot of them, probably should have even won a couple of them. And that was probably the first time I was sitting there watching St Kilda thinking, well, they just haven't turned up here at all today.
Yeah, they were shocked. Speaking to them afterwards, they just didn't see that coming.
No.
They were shocked what happened.
Mm. I think the shot clock was still in their heads from the previous week.
No, the old shot clock.
Okay.
Mm. Let's go to an ad.
We're not going to an ad. Yeah, Hickey certainly fought.
I'm struggling with that. It's a marathon, not a sprint, isn't
Hickey
it?
Hickey certainly fought on, but he was touched
he
up.
He was terrible,
on,
wasn't
Nat,
he?
Yeah, after quarter time, he fought on a bit more, but first quarter, Nick Natanui just jumped all over him. And when Prittison and Shuey are up and running.
Most disposals ever. For West Coast,
yeah,
but you know, Ben Cousins. Yeah. Talk to all those guys that were great. You know, Gaff, Shuey, the list goes on. Lacroix are the same guys. The first guys that go missing when they're on the road, aren't
well,
they?
Well, Yo's the biggest. He's the biggest yo-yo.
He's yo-yoing. Yeah. So they haven't won on the road. I think is it round 16 last year? I think they had a draw in between then and now, but that's their first win on the road. Round 16.
Their only impressive performance on the road that I can remember was when they. Against Richmond, actually, last year. Remember that, the MCG?
That was when the web came out, wasn't it?
They go on the road again this week against Port at the Adelaide Oval. And they will register a victory there.
They will they?
Absolutely, they will.
Okay. Speaking of teams on the road, what about the other West Australian team, Freo?
Well, that leads me. Can I just roll into one? Is it just me?
Of course, sure. Yeah, mate. Is
it just me?
Freeform
I'm just going to do it. Is it just me or a Freo tanking? Answer.
Well,
definitely not just you.
I don't think you'd say they're tanking.
No.
Well, it depends.
They're playing their youth.
Gil doesn't even know what tanking
no,
is.
Doesn't he?
Let's cross to Gil now and see.
not sure.
Also, Pavlich, obviously, rested. Barlow, omitted. Yeah. Sheridan, omitted.
But Barlow's out of form.
Dawson. Out of form. I got him in Supercoach. He's been great.
He's been good. Dawson.
No, don't
he
ask
had one
Sam
bad
about
game
Supercoach.
Before
Sam's
got
1,600 this week in Supercoach.
Keep going.
He had a bad game.
Say Dawson.
Dawson, omitted.
Didn't you say they were tanking?
Ah! Boom, boom. You were waiting for it, weren't you? And the kids were played Fife, ruled out for the season. I just think...
No, there's a...
Trip to Tassie,
there's
you know,
a stink about it.
They don't want
but
it.
Nothing will happen. But they're not trying their best to win.
Well, they're trying to get their youth, get games into their young players.
Oh, we're going
to
go around on this merry-go-round again, aren't we?
Let's cross to Gil again. Gil, what's the latest?
No, we're still trying to work it out over here.
Right, what about...
Back to you on the Central Commentary.
What about Queensland footy, boys?
Oh, boy, toxic. I actually likened it on the weekend to the $200 million that was spent on the Gold Coast to Mikey and the D-cell plant thrown in together. This is taxpayer money down the tube right at the moment.
The D-cell's going to save us.
How?
Well, it's going to be...
Not a drop of water's come out of that.
In the future. It's going to be. It's going to go on a mini-dynasty.
We'll throw in East-West Link as well, because this is...
I tell you, what about global warming? I mean...
Well, that's a myth.
We're going to have no... Yeah, of course it's a myth. We'll have no Barrier Reef in a couple of in about 20 years, but, gee, the weather's good in the meantime.
Should Lepa be sacked?
I think he's in trouble. I think he's in massive... I think he's in massive trouble. Whether he'll be sacked during the... I don't think he'll be sacked during the season, but I can't see him being the coach there next year unless something changes, because that was the worst football, and I don't mean bad skills... I mean, bad setup and...
Effort,
but even just dumbness. Mm-hmm. Who was it a few weeks ago? Damien Hardwick, just dumb football.
Yep, yep.
They started off handballing, trying to get their way out of defence, then that's not working. Then they just started bombing it to the wing time and time again. They didn't switch. They didn't do anything. Yeah. They looked listless. To me, they've just got too many players in the team that get about that average about 12 or 13 possessions. They've got about 10 blokes.
They've been competitive a few times, Hutto, this
at home.
How are they competitive against Sydney? Look, they've had a shocking start to the year in terms of the draw, but finally they get to play a team who, you know, who's been struggling.
Almost beat Hawthorn in Tassie. So, but yeah, the whole state of Queensland footy worries me. And when Lee Matthews said
Who almost beat Hawthorn in Tassie?
Brisbane.
Well, not really in the end. They were sort of competitive.
I thought they were up at three-quarter time.
Can't recall.
I can't recall.
That's what happens when you have an ad break.
Text in if I'm wrong.
Live.
But, yes, anyway. No, I'm pretty sure that they
Well,
did.
So, Lee Matthews, well, what's the solution then? One, we just kill off the Gold Coast.
No,
just...
but what he's saying is this: we've got a crisis up here, so we need help. I think the AFL have taken their eye off the ball for Brisbane.
No doubt
all
they
agree
have.
About that.
No doubt.
And the Gold Coast, you'd be worried about the investment and whether you've put in is working.
Mm.
And right at the moment, Ede would just be have to be just as close to, well, not as just as close, but
and he's got so many injuries.
They're a factor, though. We don't talk about them enough because they seem to be an excuse.
They've lost
their injuries.
They're real. Of course they're real.
They're massive. But what worries you with the injuries is you've got guys that are coming out, like O'Meara.
Yeah, Gary Ablett injured, the best player and most highest player.
Yeah, I think
Ablett's
injured.
What's wrong with him?
Well, he still hasn't come back properly from that shoulder, has he?
So do O'Meara and Prestia look at it and go, why would I want to stay here?
I'd say that you have to think they're every chance of leaving.
Just leaves Lynch, who signed a 5-year deal, is probably thinking, jeez, why did I do that? and they're 3-5? 3-6? 3-5?
So you don't think Rockett's in trouble?
I don't think he's in trouble at the moment, no. I mean, they can't go and change their coach again. That's not going to necessarily fix anything. Although, having said that, I think what Bolton's done at Carlton shows that as much as you can say it's all about the players and not about the coach.
Can we be ageist here and say that Ede might have just have passed
you
him
You can
by?
Be, but I'm not going to
Yeah,
at all.
I'm with Sammy. I think you've got to give him that fair run at it and see what he can do if they get their players available. But you made a very fair point that if O'Meara and Prestia leave, then this is pretty... losing May and Thompson has been massive.
No, they've been gutted. But it's the... And that's an excuse. And it's not an excuse. It's a reason. But then it's what happens after that that worries me. If they do have a miserable season as a result, it's not a compelling place to...
But this goes back to my point of the $200 million that they spend. If you're going to go up there and spend serious money, you've got to get it right and set up a club that players don't want to leave. So the people who created the club have to take responsibility. Granted, there's some injuries.
I don't think that...
But they're miles behind GWS.
But probably they didn't put enough money into the club.
Well, Giants have got the same amount of money. Look, they're third on the ladder and probably going to win a premiership in the next 2 years.
Giants got twice as good a...
No, not twice as good.
No, but
that's
they got two
right.
drafts, whereas the other only got one, and they got the... It's close to being right.
I heard Gold Coast sooking about the academies over the weekend. I thought, nah. Bad move.
But you know what it is for me as well? Is it not the kids, and we'll analyse who recruited whom, but it's the players they've brought in that's been the biggest difference.
That is where the strategy has been
so
much
Suns,
better.
Who
would you
going
to take responsibility for that?
Who would you tick at the
Suns? It's not Rocket Eats' fault that he's come into this joint.
But you tick Ablett, and then I'm not really sure who else you would tick.
Harbrow probably has been
okay. True, he has.
Over a long period of time. But
and then the rest have been quick burns or failures.
Riscatelli's been okay.
Yeah, he's a soldier.
We held off a few, actually.
It was the age. Yeah. I mean, it was the age of the players they got that was the problem.
Jared Brennan.
But
GWS.
The Giants players are at their best, other than, say, Mumford, who's, you know, you never know, he could do an injury that could finish off his career at any time. But the rest of them have still got plenty of footy to play.
Yeah.
And hopefully Mummy has
questions
as well.
Questions need to be asked of, you know, Mike Fitzpatrick and Dimitri, they put the team up there. So the AFL should take responsibility for the plight of the Gold Coast Suns.
They're still training. Their still facilities are still school portables up there. I mean,
well, why is that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think with the Gold Coast, with the Commonwealth Games, it's going to improve. There's a facility being built right now.
I'm not as worried about them. I'm more worried about Brisbane up the road than the Gold Coast.
Yeah, I think that's a massive problem, Brisbane.
Yeah, they're 13 million in debt.
Maybe if they parade a line around.
How were they allowed to wither on the vine? That's my point.
Well, I think this is the whole problem with the whole way the competition is, and I'm not necessarily being critical of it, but with these expansion teams, or the teams in the northern states who are trying to win over, I think everyone says, oh, Sydney, they only like winners. Everywhere only likes winners.
Yes.
They still got 24, I think, thousand in that Brisbane.
They had 24,000.
It was Collingwood, though.
It was Collingwood. It's always their biggest drawing game. They had an offer with the Brisbane Roar. Any Brisbane Roar fans could get in for nothing.
Who's Brisbane Roar? That's
soccer team. So that would have got a fair few. And they won't be coming.
Sorry.
With what they dished up on Saturday night, they won't be coming back in a hurry, those people. And it was a massive night of rugby league in the city.
Get in as well.
And this is deliberate by the NRL. The NRL don't put their
fixture... But they're good on the NRL.
Yeah, they don't put their fixture out until after we do, and then they go, right, here's the big games in that city. We're going to put massive drawing games. So they had a doubleheader with two Queensland clubs featuring, and there was Broncos, people all over the place.
How many people went to those games?
There's 4,000. 52,000, I think.
52,000.
The Broncos average about 50.
Do they?
They're the biggest club in the NRL.
Yeah.
Gee, the Storm are good too. We were staying at the same hotel as the Storm boys. They came in. Yeah,
did they win?
They won by one. I think Cameron Smith he kicked the winner.
Right.
So snapped it from the forward pocket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
a few jars with him. Did you afterwards?
He was taking his family down for a 3-day holiday. But we had a chat to him and Cooper Cronk and a few of the other boys.
Well, I think the AFL needs to step in and help go at Queensland football.
Oh, absolutely. And they will, won't they?
Today.
What's the debt? What's the
13 million, but 9 of it's owed to the AFL money at Brisbane.
But this is my point, though. How can they? The thing that's going to whatever they do off field will be important, but they have to get them successful on the field. But they can't all be successful every year, or else they'll just be rotating.
No,
the flags.
But competitive is the word, Hutto.
It is,
and you can't bottom out like Brisbane.
But they took away all their
Eddie did.
Yeah,
but that was a mistake. To take that retention allowance away was a mistake.
Essendon and North Melbourne. Gee, there were some weird games on the weekend.
They won well, Essendon.
They had a great win, and it was just great to see the supporters get behind them and applaud them off the ground after what was a resounding breakthrough win. I mean, who would have thought they would have beaten North, undefeated, and yet at Etihad, they came back from a shambolic first half, and what's that? Producer telling me they actually got rolled. Sorry. When the supporters rang into Mix Station 3RW and actually sang the song verbatim over the speakerphone.
It's been a rough few years.
Oh, jeez. What has happened?
You okay?
Let's go.
This freeform podcast where you're not allowed to take a break, you're struggling, aren't you, Mick, with that?
But, yeah, North just keep winning and no one keeps talking about
them.
Were
they too tall on the weekend?
That was a deliberate ploy, wasn't it? Just to play Mad Jack in the bye round, I would have thought.
Yeah, I think they were keen to play him. Wouldn't you just give Goldstein a rest, though?
Well, you didn't want to make it, give him a chance to win.
They did win.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Did they get any points for that, Essendon, or not?
Well, they get clapped off after their lowest half-time score in 100 years.
Can't you understand
hard,
it?
Have you?
Can't you understand it, Sam?
I understand why they did
all
it.
I would have thought all those losses you've experienced with your club that...
And did that ever happen at Carlton?
You wore the suit and tie afterwards.
Ever happened?
What?
That another side get? Has that ever happened?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think it has. Anyway, we've never had a situation like Essendon before. But anyway, Brad Scott, a win that felt like a loss. Mm. And I think I said I was becoming convinced by North Melbourne as a contender. I don't know if I have.
Oh. Has there ever been an 8-0 team that is not the premiership favourite, or at least not close to being the premiership favourite?
Richmond in 1995, Hutto. I think they were 11-0, and no one rated them, and they were right.
Hmm.
They get to a prelim, though.
They've got the system there. They play finals football, don't they? They've got hardness, and they've got the key position tools down the line for the Baylor kick, and we know finals, pressure cranks up, someone's just got to kick it, and you can't play perfect football.
They're going to be there or they're
going to play someone good so we can find out.
Well, round 10.
They got Carlton this week.
Round 10.
Who's that?
From round 10 to round 14, it's a frightening draw.
Who've they got?
I don't know exactly off the top of my head, but it's your Adelaides, your Sydneys.
I think it's Richmond.
Your Adelaides, Sydney, Geelong. Geelong's
in
there.
Down in Tassie on a Friday night.
Geelong is in there. West Coast is in there as well away, I think. So there's going to be, from round 10 on, I think it's the toughest draw in the competition. So
who's your premiership team right now, Sammy?
I think probably it's a flip of the coin between Geelong and Hawthorn, if you ask me at the moment.
Hawthorn? Dunstall's already ruled that out, mate.
Mate, they're going to be there. It's motivation.
Dunstall is the most negative supporter I've ever seen in history.
Oh, it's a ploy.
If you watch a Hawthorn game with Dunstall, it is hilarious. He bags his players.
Does he?
Oh, yeah, he's a shocker.
Okay.
He is a shocker. Western Bulldogs, Melbourne. I thought this is a really good win by the Dogs. I haven't seen a frame of it yet, but... because I was in Perth on the longest road trip ever.
Didn't you watch it while you were calling that game?
No, I couldn't. Oh. It
wasn't a bad game. Dogs' first game away from Melbourne.
I'm disappointed.
Big road trip away from Melbourne.
I mean, from Etihad.
It was built up to be a big road trip. It was actually 15 minutes across the other side of town.
Across the bridge.
These
days, it's probably about 45 minutes.
Well, imagine the jet lag. It would have been extreme for them to play and recover.
How will they recover from it?
It would have been sapping. I mean, I don't know how long a day break they've got, but then, recover from that. Get back out west.
I gave Melbourne a chance going into this game. I haven't seen a frame, but I'm disappointed they didn't get closer than what they did.
A few players fell off the cliff. Maxi Gawn had his worst game for a long, long time.
His Supercoach numbers at the MCG are very low.
Are they?
Yeah.
The Bulldogs ruckman, they have, even though there's nothing
they're not even
fancy
ruckman
about it, they haven't been really beaten this year, have they?
I like it.
Was it Ruffy-Campbell combination at the moment?
Yeah.
Even against North, they... they toil pretty hard against Gold.
Did you see Bernie Vince? Will he get rubbed out again for that, do you think?
Didn't see it.
So. I think he will from all reports.
Yeah. Hmm. Lockie Hunter, love him. Libber, back to his best.
Well, you love it, don't you? So 20 years.
Libber, 19 tackles.
So Mark Hunter, Tony Liberatore, Steve Wallace played 20 years ago with the coach Beveridge, and it was the Suns that took him to the cleaners on the weekend. Isn't that amazing? Advertisement for father-son football.
That's what some of the interstate teams can use as argument in terms of
spot on.
Father-son, it's been Geelong pivotal with the Bulldogs.
Collingwood have got Darcy Moore. You don't hear much talk about Darcy Moore when they talk about academies.
Chris Judd's about to have 8 children at once. So, Carl's laughing.
Now, the Dogs play the Giants. This could be the most highly anticipated game in history. That's probably a stretch.
I'm really looking forward to it, but I'm not sure about that.
Probably a stretch.
In history.
Is it just me, or has Mick lost it with this organic format?
In recent history.
Is the lack of rotations just starting to wear out on you?
He's always been a burst player, though, like a Matty Watts style. Real runs off like a tard and, you know, can't play long game.
It'll be a good game.
It will be a good game. Straighten us up.
Who wins?
Straighten us up.
Giants will win.
Dogs will win. Numbers don't lie. Don't know what they are.
What
are they?
What, third playing fifth?
No, they've both got amazingly good numbers, but I won't go on about that because Hutto accuses me of being a nerd burger.
We'll cross to Luffy now. He's going to give us the numbers.
That's right.
Thanks, Luffy.
Actually, I want to speak about numbers very quickly because we didn't talk about, talking about Lepich being in trouble. You know, he's been in charge. I think it's 52, 53 games. His side have won the contestable count in 9 of those games. Mm. That is the most important measure in footy, and they stink to high heaven.
It is a shame, but that's just...
It's a shame. It's a crying shame. I know your heart bleeds. I can tell. I can hear it in your voice.
I do a lot of Brisbane games, and I still think they've got some talent there, but I know we've jumped back onto the lines.
Well,
but
speaking of talent...
I was just ordinary in the first half.
Jacob Hopper out of the Riverina.
How is Ed going, do you think, watching that game?
He had kittens.
In the host studio.
Absolutely kittens. Ed, 31, purple. 29 of them contested. He's a bull, and he'll probably win the Rising Star from here this year.
In fact, ridiculous
debut. You reckon he'll win the Rising Star?
He will play like that for the next 15 weeks, according to my spies.
Oh, they're operatives.
He almost killed himself 2 weeks ago. He did.
Yeah, he did. I heard that. He dove into the pool at Breakfast
Point.
There's
no water in it.
It was the shallow end. He thought it was the deep end.
Oh, he nearly broke his neck.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I'm really worried about
it. He would have made his debut 2 weeks ago, but he hurt his neck in that, and it was...
He'll still win the Rising
Star. Apparently can cut...
His face is all scratched and scuffed.
Well, he can play footy, and that's the Riverina Academy.
It's the water in the Riverina. Mate, what a ridiculous debut that was. Yeah. It was insane.
Yeah. All right.
Do you think he'll win the Rising Star?
Who have you got as winning the Rising Star? Wiedering's now missed a few weeks. He was the favourite.
Probably can't win it, can he now? Caleb Daniels there, obviously.
Mills
has been consistent without having absolute blinders.
Yeah, sugar.
I reckon Essendon have played. I reckon Fantasia.
He's been good, hasn't he?
He was on ball. He was, and they're playing him forward now. He's hardly getting a sniff.
He's not eligible, is he?
He is. He won. He was nominated last round last year, but he played under the amount of games, and he's young enough.
Okay.
Is it just me, or is it a ridiculous award?
Well, it's harder to understand.
I mean, Boomer Harvey's eligible.
What's the...
That's stupid. Just have it the first year. If you get injured in your first year, tough tit. You can't win it.
What's the formula for one day?
The first time that word's been used on
tough
the podcast.
Tit? Yeah. Probably. It's an oldie.
We're getting loosey with his free fall.
Hutto, what's the formula for one day cricket when the rain comes? What's that called?
Duckworth Lewis, yeah.
It's harder to work out.
The number of spanners in a seed chrome tour.
Rising Star eligibility. Because guys played 4 years ago. He can. It's what, under 23 or something, is it?
No, I don't know. You're right,
21 and under, isn't it?
No. Not sure.
I don't think
just they sit around the mahogany table at AFLS and...
Right, we're getting the fierce wind-up, boys. So that's it. That's the free-form
podcast. Is that it? We're done.
We're done and dusted. Let's go out for lunch.
Oh, okay.
You can check in next week. We'll have it'll be even looser on the Super Footy podcast because our producer, who apparently loves the show so much, he's going away for 4 weeks.
I didn't think we did Is It Just Me, did we?
We did. Oh. What was yours?
You did
Bryn.
Bryn Edelston.
No, that was Beacon Rewind.
What was your Is It Just Me?
Oh, I don't know, but...
Well, I had Freo... Freo tanking.
Yeah, you just left me out. That's cool. That's cool.
Well, why don't you say, is it just me? But you were shocked that Bryn rejected Warney.
Do it after the break.
Surely Bryn didn't say no to Warney, did she?
That series is just me.
I think she set him up.
Oh. Are we still on the air? No, we're not. That's it. Find us next Monday afternoon on the Super Footy website, iTunes and SoundCloud. For all your other news, don't forget to follow Super Footy on Twitter and use the hashtag... Super Footy Pod. to get involved with comments or questions ahead of the next episode. See you then.
Da-da-da-da.